This is News in No Time. Tony Cox in for Farai Chidea. On today's roundtable, Roots Revisited, the Reverend Al Sharpton finds an ancestral link to Strom Thurmond, and an apology, sort of, generations later. The state of Virginia offers its version of an official mea culpa for slavery. Joining us today to talk about these and other issues are Michael Myers, executive director of the New York Civil Rights Coalition, Laura Washington, Chicago Sun-Times columnist, and Jeff Obafemi Carr, host of the radio show Freestyle. Hey, everybody. Nice to have you.
Hi, Tony.
Well, I guess our first topic would go under the topic or go under the heading God has a sense of humor. it seems Al Sharpton is a descendant of a slave owned by the Thurmond family, the family, of course, of the late Senator Strom Thurmond. It's been all over the news for days now, and the Reverend giving his own quote unquote shocked reaction to it. Let me ask you what your reaction was, Mike Myers, when you heard this.
Well, this discovery to me is more shocking to Reverend Al Sharpton than the Tawala Brawley fraud. So it's more shocking to Reverend Al than his calling a white owner of a 125th Street merchant store a white interloper. It's more shocking to Reverend Al than his calling Jews and Crown Heights diamond merchants. More shocking to Reverend Al than defaming Stephen Pagonis. This is silly self-absorption. Who cares if Reverend Al is a descendant of a slave owned by the relatives of Strom Thurmond? It may not be a made-up story, but it is certainly a story made for the New York Daily Knee Jerkers or the New York Paternalistic Times. It is a story that I don't care about.
Do you find it interesting at all, Laura Washington?
Well, I do. Michael, you didn't answer the question of whether or not you were shocked. I take it you weren't.
No.
Well,
I'm not shocked by anything Al Sharpton does or says.
He was born to a certain bloodline. You know, my reaction, Tony, was, you know, be careful what you ask for. As you know, the background on this is that New York Daily News, decided to, they've been looking into the whole issue of genealogy and working with this website, Ancestry.com, and they came up with the idea of let's ask Al Sharpton about his, let's see if we can trace his genealogy. And of course, Al Sharpton had to agree to this and provide information. And he asked and he found out that, you know, is the person who, I think it was a woman who was with Ancestry.com, points out, you know, there's really 6 degrees of separation or less between all of us. And what it points out to me is that we have this undeniable and permanent link to slavery, all of us, that we will never be able to get away from. I'm sure the last people in the world that Strom Thurmond's family want to be connected to in any way or shape or form is Al Sharpton. Mm-hmm. But that is what it is in America, a black, white, Latino, whatever. We do have this very close bond that I think is founded in slavery, unfortunately, but it's something that is undeniable.
You know, different families, I think, and different individuals come at this issue of connection to slavery in different ways. And so, Jeff, let me ask you, how much do you think about your slave roots?
I think about them at different times for different reasons. There are times, realistically, when I think more about my pre-slave roots, in that I remind myself that although I don't know the exact lineage, there was a time where for 50,000 years I was not a slave, as opposed to 400 years when I was. So the slavery for me ancestrally is more of a blink in the grand sleep of things. And I think that's how I preserve kind of my sense of self culturally. But I also think of slavery and knowing that my great grandmother had, on both sides, had some kind of connection in slavery. I think of it when I'm complaining about having to push paperwork around for 6 hours. And then I'm reminded that there was a time where I had to push more than paperwork from can't see to can't see. So that kind of brings me back to center. But I thought that this was just a really almost funny revelation in terms of how it could be a coincidence. And as a dramatist, I'm reminded that true life is definitely stranger than any kind of fiction you can come up with. And I was salivating over the story implications. It might be a great movie one day, yeah. But I don't know how you would end it. I mean, does Al go to a Thurmond family reunion? Does the Thurmond family give reparations or help Al launch a political campaign? I don't know what will come of it. But I think that in the long run, it does remind us, though, that there is a connection to slavery that we have all known. And it's just interesting that it comes at this time when Al is starting to put pressure on the black agenda for the presidential election.
The movie would star Eddie Murphy in a fat suit, no doubt.
Oh, my God. Listen, Mike Myers.
We've seen that a few times.
Setting Al Sharpton, the person, aside for a second, I want to put the same question to you that I did to Jeff. How much do you personally think about your slave roots, and is there an emotional connection of pain or pride or a combination? Unlike Jeff,
I was never a slave. Now, certainly ancestors were enslaved people. I never regard myself as a slave. And so I don't have that kind of racial identification. I don't have that kind of personal pain. Slavery is not in something that I lived through, and I was not born into slavery. And that's why I find it I don't have any patience whatsoever for this racial identity nonsense, saying that I was a slave and blah blah blue and blah, blah. I don't have that kind of pain.
You feel no connection to it at all.
It's not a question of connection. It's a historical connection. But you know, I have a connection to lots of people who have been enslaved. I have a connection with Native Americans. I have a connection with Jews who have been put into the ovens. I have connections with people who have been, and I have connections with people who are in slavery today across the globe. But that's not a root thing. That's not an ancestral thing in the sense of my personal identification. It's my fact that I'm a human being. I don't like suffering. I don't like enslavement.
Mm-hmm. Laura.
Well, Michael, I think that I agree with a lot of what you say. I think that the problem with this is that we see it as a shameful legacy. We see it as something that we should be ashamed of and we should be in pain about. And see, the way I look at it, I celebrate. We overcame that. What other race of people were able to went through what we went through, came here as chattel from Africa, where, you know, our families were destroyed, blah, blah, blah. We know the history, and yet we've risen above it. We're going to talk in a few minutes, I think, about Barack Obama and Condoleezza Rice. These are folks who probably, well, not Barack Obama, but certainly Condoleezza Rice, who have ancestors who were slaves. That's something to celebrate. It's not something to be ashamed of. But I do think that too many of us still do see slavery as sort of an excuse and a victim. And we look at the victimization of it. And, you know, we came here 200 years ago and da, 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 da. And I think that argument is, there's just no tolerance right now in this country for that argument anymore. And we need to just put it to rest.
I wonder go ahead.
Oh, I want to add something real quick, Tony, because what Laura and Michael say are both very valid. My grandfather was a sharecropper. And for those of you who know, sharecropping is what they called slavery after slavery was abolished. Mm-hmm. But when I hear the stories of what he had to overcome as a man who had 11 kids, whose wife died, and he ended up, none of the kids ended up in jail on drugs, etc., it instills within me an ancestral sense of pride and strength, because I realize that all of the people who died in the Middle Passage and all of the people who suffered through the horrors of slavery, the people who were able to survive were able to get descendants that ended up with me. So I came from the strongest of the strong, so to speak. So to me, that is a sense of pride in terms of what our people have been able to take on in this country.
You make an interesting point. In fact, I was going to raise that and direct it towards you, because it seems to me that when there is a personal connection made, as there was in this case with Al Sharpton and Strom Thurmond, that it takes the issue of our connection to slavery, and it puts it on another plane. It takes it out of the history books, and you can begin to look at a real person, a real name, a real place, a real time, and a real connection. And I think that there's an emotional involvement for people that have that. Would you agree with that?
I think there's definitely an emotional involvement. I was talking from a historical perspective on the story of the Good Samaritan from a biblical perspective, and what makes it so that the priest and the Levite could walk by this guy who got hit in the head and is lying in the ditch, and the Samaritan could stop and kneel over. And it's because the Samaritan had experienced discrimination and hatred, so he felt empathy for the guy lying in the ditch. So I think it's the same thing with us. On some level, we've all experienced discrimination, so we can't stand to see it. There is an empathetic connection to it. We can't stand to see it happening to Jewish people. We can't see it happening to anybody else because of directly because of our connection to this country through our ancestry that came through a period of slavery. So I think if we lose that, we lose some of our empathy, and we start telling people to pull themselves up by their bootstraps.
Well, let me just say, if you're you're listening to NPR's News and Notes, I'm Tony Cox in for Farah Chidea. With me on today's roundtable, Mike Myers, Executive Director of the New York Civil Rights Coalition, Laura Washington, Chicago Sun-Times columnist, and Jeff Obafemi Carr, whom you just heard, host of the radio show Freestyle. Talking about slavery, let's move on to the state of Virginia, which made sort of an apology for slavery. My question to officially through the legislature, my question to the three of you is, do we care about that at all?
Well, I say one more time, look, this is a situation which I think is empty posturing on the part of the Virginia legislature.
So that's a no.
Regretting slavery, apologizing to Native Americans. Ain't nobody giving Manhattan back to the Native Americans.
Yeah, you're right about that.
and nobody's giving out reparations to Al Sharpton or to Jeff or to Laura or to me. Nobody's opening their mansions. Nobody's giving up their estates. Nobody's redistributing wealth that was customarily and invariably built on because of racial discrimination and exclusiveness. So it's like that movie, you know, the people who go to the drive-in and keep ordering items, and the person at the other end of in the drive-in says, and yeah, you got an apology for slavery. And what more do you, what more is going to come other than this empty posturing?
Well, let me bring the two your two colleagues in really briefly, because I want to leave enough time to get to Condi Rice. What do you say, Laura Washington?
Well, I think, it is. I agree with Michael. It is empty posturing. Now, the reason why this is such a huge debate is a legal one. You know, the states don't want to say those two little words, I'm sorry, because somehow there is a perception that that will open them up to reparations. But I think Michael's absolutely right. Reparations aren't coming. They never have been coming. If you look at the polls, a recent Gallup poll says that 9 out of 10 white Americans don't think we're due any reparations. And guess who's making those decisions? White Americans. So it's not going to happen. So let's move on.
Well, in fact, let's do that. Jeff, let me ask you to hold on, and I'll ask you to respond to the next topic, which is Condi and Rice. Condoleezza Rice and Barack Obama.
It might be
the mud may have started in the Democratic race for president, some of it landing on Senator Barack Obama. But now he's getting some political love from an unlikely GOP source, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. Here, she told Fox News, well, judge for yourself.
I know him. I think he's a very appealing and great person. He's on my committee, and we've always had good exchanges. I think he's an extraordinary person.
Now, the secretary also commented on a Fox poll on race in politics. Here's that.
Race is still a factor. When a person walks into a room, I still think people see race. But it's less and less of a barrier to believing that that person can be your doctor or your lawyer or the CEO of a company. And it'll not be long, I think, before it's no longer a barrier to being president of the United States.
All right, Jeff Obafemi Carr, 2 points. First, her remarks about Obama. And secondly, did you hear some code in there about the issue of race?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that first comment about Obama, I just have to say, I have never heard such a sweetness and such a curliness in the voice of Condoleezza Rice.
She looked like she was smiling. It sounded like she was smiling, didn't it?
It was amazing, man. As a director, I would say, man, you analyze the intent in that. And then she goes back to being the regular Condoleezza Rice for the issue of race. So I thought that that was very interesting, and why some writers have said she was gushing about Barack Obama. I think that Barack has obviously affected Condoleezza in some sort of positive way. But going to that political issue, the Gallup poll that said that 94% of the people in America would vote for an African-American reminds me of my campus political days when the young sister who was running for campus queen, who nobody liked, was handing out hot dogs and everybody was eating. Say, yeah, I'll vote for you. And then she loses in a landslide. No one's going to go on record as saying, I'm not going to vote for a black person. That's the difference about the stealthiness of racism these days. Who's the last person you knew who stood up and said, well, yeah, I'm racist. I'm never going to vote for a black man. I think that this issue is a smokescreen also, because there have always been black people in recent years who have been accepted in the mainstream that many people in America would vote for or support or hire, because they don't have anything creative or new to say, and they would preserve the status quo. So in that case, I don't think race is an issue, but it's going to play out differently when you actually have Barack Obama in the heat of battle.
I got about a minute for you, Mike Myers, so we can squeeze Laura Washington in before we have to get out of here.
Well, I would say we are breaking barriers. Condi is right in that regard. I mean, we do have more appointed black officials than we've ever had in this administration. We have a black governor of Massachusetts, albeit he's decorating his life as his offices with taxpayers' dollars. But you know, there is racial progress. You can't deny that. Absolutely. But whether or not somebody will vote for a black person to be president, we'll soon see, because Barack Obama is running against Hillary Clinton.
Absolutely.
I think Condi's comment is more related to that than it is to anything else.
Laura Washington, I've got about 40 seconds for you to answer this question for me. How much of what Condoleezza Rice said was coming from a GOP Secretary of State, and how much was coming from a black woman?
Well, first of all, it's very fashionable and politically correct to love Barack Obama. She talks about how much she enjoyed Obama on her committee. Mm. I've seen Obama grill her on her committees. That wasn't true. secondly, the Republicans would love the Hillary Barack thing. The Republicans would love to see Barack really get elevated, and that's where the GOP stuff is coming from. They want to see that guy in the hot seat because they think that he is very beatable. So that's why they love him so much right now.
All right, from our New York Bureau, Mike Myers, Executive Director of the New York Civil Rights Coalition, Jeff Obafemi Carr, host of the radio show Freestyle at Spotland Production in Nashville, Tennessee, and Laura Washington, Chicago Sun-Times columnist at our Chicago Bureau. Everybody, thank you very much. Good points today.
Take care.
You're welcome.